Hello, everyone, and welcome to Popcorn for Breakfast. We've got an exclusive sneak peek of one of the newest movies out in theaters now, Arthur the King. Let's chat.
Breakfast, presented by St. Louis Area Smoothie Kings. Now, here are your hosts, Cam and Kirk.
Well, 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 hello everyone. We are freshly out of the movie theater. That's right, our bellies are still full of popcorn and soda. Oh,
it hurts.
It's just rolling around in there.
Something about, I love movie theater popcorn, as I know most people do. But man, it just really sits,
yeah.
Doesn't it?
I ate the first half of that popcorn bag in probably less than 4 minutes.
Yeah, and then I was like, no more. That was a bad choice. Delicious, but just bad.
All bad. We visited a newer theater that we've only been to a couple of times. I haven't been there in quite some time. Cam got to go see Kung Fu Panda 4 there.
Yes.
So he gave me the heads up. The popcorn was exquisite.
I said the popcorn is slapping.
He said slapping.
I said it's slapping. And it was.
It was. It truly was. So,
but at what cost, Kirk?
I don't know. At the cost
of our stomach lining.
Oh my gosh. I feel like it's peeling off right now and I'm going to throw it all up. Well, if you're still listening today, we're going to chat about Arthur the King, the newest Mark Wahlberg film in theaters. That's right. It drops this weekend. Coming up in the future, we got an early press screening this week tonight.
I love that you said exclusive,
yeah.
Which is not true, but I like that you said it. like I like that, just like spicing it up a
yeah.
little bit. Just like exclusive. Just makes people go, and then only to find out that it's not. But it is an early screening, and this review will be out before the movie comes out. So
yeah, I think exclusive should be on all the copy for this episode. It should be in in the thumbnail.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
I love it.
Everywhere. And I'm going to get a t-shirt made.
Maybe not the thumbnail. I don't know. Will YouTube? I don't know. We'll find out. Some things you can only learn the hard way.
Oh, man. Giddy from the popcorn, and it's late. So let's get into this. Cam, you have the honor of going first tonight.
Yes.
You're going to get to tell us and have probably the best picks of this film.
Let's go.
And the Oscar goes to, who is going to get the best performance of this film?
What a pleasant surprise this is.
Oh, wait. I forgot to say what this movie is about.
You can if you want to.
I'll say it real quick.
Or I can, since you are.
We can. Go ahead. I'm going to say one word.
I'll fill in the gaps.
Then
you say
the next word.
Not the three-headed opera singer. Just go.
This is based on a true story. There's something in our culture called adventure racing, which I was not privy to.
Same.
It's basically like The Amazing Race, the TV show.
It's like
show.
Racing, but metal.
Yes, but adventure-like. So you basically have a four-man team, four-man, four-woman team combination, whatever, and you go to an isolated place, and you have a set of rules. You have to hike, you have to climb, you have to row, you have to run.
You have to get through, like, what was it, like 11 gates or something like that? You have to hit 11 checkpoints, but how you get to each checkpoint is your choice.
It's flexible.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's limited rules on that part of it.
It's pretty cool.
You just can't drive. Like,
no, it's pretty cool. It seems extremely difficult.
Yes.
Like, not something I would ever even, it wouldn't even cross my mind ever in 1,000,000,000 years.
But I signed us up for next year's race.
Oh, no.
But all that said is it's based on the incredible true story of this team while they were on this race in 2018. This dog suddenly appeared and started following them on their race and just kept following them. And he became a part of their team. And the incredible story about how the dog motivated them and the ups and downs through the race course as they went. It's a 5-day race. And there's like hundreds of competitors. It's insane.
It's crazy.
It's insane. So, all that said now, Cam, tell us who acted the best in this movie.
You know, Kirk, I have to go with old tried and true Marky Mark. Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch. Mark Wahlberg, Wahlberger's fame.
Yes.
He's done so many amazing things. The Departed, The Fighter, not Uncharted. That was not good.
No.
Lone Survivor. He's in an interesting place in his career where he kind of does movies like this, which are like based on a true story, sort of engineered for crowd pleasing, you know, meant to be mass appeal, crowd pleasing type movies. That's what he's been kind of shifting toward. This movie definitely falls in that category. But you know what the thing is? I've fallen into this trap, and maybe it's just because I'm a cynic these days, where I see one of these type of Mark Wahlberg movies come across the ticker, and I go, ugh, not one of these. But he's still got it, man. He has the glue for this type of movie that just makes it, like, it makes it entertaining. At the end of the day, it's an entertainment product, and he makes it entertaining, and he helps fit the cast together. He helps make everything work. He is, much like his role that he's playing, he is the captain of the team here. And I remember seeing Lone Survivor in theaters and thinking this is going to be cheesy and dumb, and it was to an extent, but he made it so compelling. And I feel like that's very much what his role was in this movie, was to make it compelling and to help tell this story, which anytime you get a based on a true story movie, it's usually because the story's pretty darn good. You know, otherwise they would make a movie about something else, but instead they made a story about this. And Mark Wahlberg just has, I mean, it's totally intangible. He just has the it factor for these types of movies. And I think he's making a boatload of money doing it. So good for him. And yeah, so he gets my Oscar goes to. Is it perfect? No. Is the dialogue cheesy at times? Absolutely. And does he stumble through a few lines? Sure. But he's him, and he's got that magnetism to him, and it all just works because he's here.
Yeah, he's incredible. He really is. I look forward to a kind of not return to form, because I don't think we'll ever get that again, but I want to see a newer version, even from this, of Mark Wahlberg, where we can really just see what's going on in his head, because there's so many things turning, and I just need someone to focus him where we could see like a Best Supporting Actor nomination in the future. That would be really cool.
He's a total pro and total business, mm-hmm. and I think he's probably learned that he can make a boatload of money doing these, and they're not as much effort, and they're higher paying than if you're, you know, cast member number 10 on the call list. Yep. in a Martin Scorsese movie, or, you know, a David O. Russell movie or something like that.
Yeah.
And that's all fine. And well, I heard him on a podcast somewhat recently kind of talking about it, and he just is very businesslike in his approach. Like, he's got his team, and they're reading through scripts, and they're figuring out what works. And I think he's been remarkably successful as a business person and as a professional in this industry. So you have to tip your cap to him. It would be great to see him do some of those more, those more intense roles where he gets to explore a character more than just kind of playing himself. Because in these movies, he always kind of plays some version of himself. Mm-hmm. But, you know, this is what we've got right now.
Yeah, I will say that a couple of upcoming roles of his are pretty exciting. I forgot he's going to be the $6 billion man.
Oh, right.
They've upped the money. Yeah. It used to be million. Now it's billion, $6 billion man.
I like that.
More expensive when you put Mark Wahlberg back together. a movie called Play Dirty, Flight Risk, The Union. Flight Risk is going to be a Mel Gibson-directed film, but he's going to be playing an air marshal, a U.S. air marshal, who somehow has to get a fugitive across state lines, trying to get... They've crashed somehow, I don't know what happens, but that looks...
sounds about right.
It looks good. It looks right up his alley,
it
right?
It does, it does.
So that's exciting. We'll see what happens with these upcoming roles. Great pick, great choice. My Oscar tonight goes to Simu. How do you say his last name?
Liu.
Simu Liu. Yes, mm-hmm. Mr. Shang-Chi himself. You've seen him in, a long time ago in the Disney MCU franchise introduction, and he's back here. We've also seen him in Barbie, who is fun and exciting. In Barbie, you saw him at the Oscars. He got to perform I'm Just Ken with Ryan Gosling. He was a stage scene stealer there as well. But I loved this role for him. The person that he's portraying is like an influencer. They're full of themselves. They're very in tune with their aesthetics of who they are and how they look at all times. What I loved about this role, though, is that he wasn't obsessed. He was just very attentive to it all. Like, it never got to tip the scales where it was annoying or trying too hard. It was like Simu just really loved to continue to create content the entire time they were on this race and the conflicts that go with that against people who couldn't care less about that. So I really appreciated that with his role. He's got just a magnetic smile, magnetic personality in whatever character he plays. And unlike Shang-Chi, where they tried to give him sometimes comedic moments with Awkwafina, in this he got to play full on. He was the humor of this movie. He was taking on most of the jokes here, and that played very well for me. So Simu, you get the win for me.
Yeah, he's got comedic chops. I think it's great casting here, because this is if you follow Simu Liu on any sort of social media, you could see him as this type of person.
Yeah.
You know, just like somebody who's very in the loop on social media and having conversations with people, engaging with his followers on a regular basis. I mean, he's replied to our tweets before, actually, too, like that we've tweeted at him.
Thanks, Simu.
So shout out Simu Liu. I wanted to hate him in this movie because in the trailer, there are some really rough line reads. There's one where he says, like, what's up, Paw Patrol? You were actually in the bathroom whenever he said that this time.
Oof.
And it's like, that's like one of the only things you see in the trailer and a couple others. And it's like, oof, ouch. But I have to hand it to him. He ended up playing the role exactly as it was described and just like checking all the boxes. So as much as I wanted to hate it, and yes, the dialogue's rough at times, and yes, there's some clunky line reads, in my opinion, he nailed it.
He sells it. Like any influencer.
Yeah, exactly. He sold it.
Well, next up, let's talk about our scene stealers. Besides the person who was leading the pack and who was not Mark or Simu, who is the next in line to get some flowers tonight?
Yeah, I have to go with Natalie Emmanuel, who I just keep waiting for her to have that role that sends her to the next level. I feel like, man, she's right there. Like, she's appeared in the Fast and the Furious franchise. And I think in that movie, F9, that we reviewed on the podcast, that Fast and the Furious movie, she was in that film. And she was, in my opinion, the best actor in the whole thing. Like, she actually went for it. She was kind of like the more techie person in
there.
I think
you probably gave her an award.
I think
I
did. I think
too.
I did. Yeah. And she, of course, played Missandei, or I always say her name wrong, Missandei in Game of Thrones, which is her claim to fame, her biggest role that she's had. And she's had a few sprinkled in here and there. I didn't see Fast X, but I assume she's in that movie as well. And so, yeah, she's been in a few, and I think she's really got a ton of talent. And I feel like she gets to, when she is cast well, she just shines so, so well. And I didn't think this was any different for her. I thought that she was perfectly cast in this film. I thought that she has a level of intensity that she brings whenever she performs that I think is just, sometimes it can feel a little out of place if she's miscast, but when she's cast correctly, it just feels so perfect, and it just lends a level of credibility and authenticity to the story and the film and helps you get engaged. And I really felt like that was the case here, where her character's got an interesting storyline and an interesting background. She's one of the truly, she's different from the other characters on this team. She's one who like sets themselves apart among this cast. And I thought she excelled here. Again, same caveat. Are there moments where there's clunky lines that she has to read? Yes, but that's more on the dialogue. And I think she's working really hard. And I think more often than not, it really pays off. So I have to give her some props. Natalie Emmanuel, it's coming. Your day in the light is coming. She's had some great roles. She's had a great career so far. She's still very young, and I know that a big breakthrough is coming for her.
You know what it's going to be? In Francis Ford Coppola's.
Oh, Megalopolis.
Megalopolis.
I saw her on that cast list, and I was like, let's go.
I think that's going to be it. I really think.
She's pretty high up in the billing, too, I think, if I remember correctly.
Like, yeah.
I don't think she's like way down the list on Megalopolis.
Coming straight out of Francis Ford Coppola's pocket.
Yeah, I thought she was on like the weird title treatment poster thing that he posted. So I'm I'm excited for her. She deserves
it. Excellent. Well, I have been searching for the name of my scene stealer, but I can't seem to find the real name. This is pretty rude. It's not in the cast list on IMDb.
What?
I'm going with the dog who plays Arthur.
Oh, yeah, Cameron. Of course. Good.
Because this dog, man, when I tell you I have a one-year-old, one and a almost two-year-old puppy with me, she's a black lab, border collie mix, and she is smart. I'll give her that. But man, she will not stop being a puppy at times and just does some really dumb things, like runs into doorways, doesn't, like, she's walking in front of you, stops, and makes you trip over her. But I did you find the name?
I found the name, Kirk.
What's the name?
Yukai.
Yukai.
U-K-I, or sorry, U-K-A-I. So hopefully that's right. Yukai?
Yukai. I like it. I like it. Yeah, absolutely just an absolute baller, this dog. I believed every moment of his acting, because sometimes you get some dogs in dog movies that are just like, all right, that's fine.
They edit it weirdly together, and it feels like maybe this dog wasn't cooperating.
Yeah.
But not here.
You always see the back of the dog running. You never see its face.
You're like, is that the same dog?
Or like in what is that movie? Call of the Wild?
The Call of the Wild.
The Call of the Wild, where it's a completely CGI dog with Harrison Ford.
Or like the Shaggy Dog, where it's a guy in a sheepdog outfit. That's my personal favorite.
That one's incredible. So I really think this dog just was next level. I've not seen any dog endure what it had to endure with a film set and crew and all the demands that had to go with it. Adorable.
Very cute.
Absolutely adorable and heart-wrenching at times, because it's a dog movie, so there's going to be some painful owner moments in there.
Yeah, very cute in like a homely kind of dog way, you know, like a dog next door.
Loved too, yeah, homely is a great word to express it as, because there a lot of dog movies, like, the dog is perfect. The dog is always groomed.
Yes.
This dog is in the jungle on a 5-day race for its life, hoping that these people will adopt it at the end of this race.
Yeah, and the whole time he's like real scraggly, and like you're like, yeah, that's a jungle dog.
Yes.
That's a dog you would find in the Dominican Republic. Jungle on the dog. Street.
That's what I'm going that's for as Halloween. Arthur the King 2. Jungle dog.
Return to the jungle.
So yeah, Yukai is my answer.
I love it. And it bears repeating. We just had the Academy Awards, and I'm going to say it again. I'm going to say it louder for the Board of Governors of the Academy of Motion Pictures. Best Animal Performance.
Yes.
What are we waiting for exactly? I mean, we saw Messi, the dog from Anatomy of a Fall. That's an easy Oscar win right there. Yes. Come on, let's just go.
Loved the moment where they had fake dog paws and made Messi clap.
That was classic. That's just pure, that's gold.
It was so brief, and I'm like, oh my gosh, that person is brilliant, whoever decided that.
Genius.
Yeah, I think that would be wonderful. You know, this year's Oscars, just as a quick nugget, I don't think that they were like out of this world fantastic, but they were a little bit more entertaining than years past. And you added a dog category. Come on.
Add an animal category. How fun would it be to see, you know, the Academy Awards, everybody's coming up in tuxedos and these beautiful ball gowns, and then one category smack in the middle, like a horse walks on stage.
Oh my goodness.
Or like a bird. You know, it would be hilarious. It'd be great.
A bear, a real bear.
Well, you remember the bear. There was a bear movie that I watched that was like, there was this one bear back in the day. I can't remember what it was
called. The Revenant.
No, there was this bear back in the day who was like a huge bear actor and was in like every bear movie. I can't remember his name. I did a whole thing on him.
Bear in the Big Blue House.
No, the movie was called just like, I don't know. I'm not going on this tangent right now. I'm just saying there was a bear actor back in the day who like definitely deserved an Oscar.
That's fantastic. Yeah. I'm going to go into your psyche later.
His name was
later.
Like Kodiak Joe or something like that. It was, I don't know. It was something.
We're going to figure this out and let you know later, guys. Next up, we're going to chat about the showstopper. The moment in the movie, whether it was production value, theming, whatever it may be. We got lots of options for this that really stuck out to you and said, this is the glue to this movie. What you got, Kim?
I think the glue and like the production value thing with this movie is just understanding its audience. I think this movie understands that this is not an art house film. It's just meant to entertain people. It's just meant to tell a story. Mm-hmm. And later on, that'll be part of the reason that I knock this movie. But, you know, in terms of like, this movie was made for a purpose. It achieved that purpose, which is to give people heartwarming, crowd pleasing, sometimes agonizing, sometimes, you know, emotional film about, I mean, how many of these dog movies have we seen over the years? Marley and Me. And,
too many.
And The Art of Driving in the Rain or whatever that one was called. Ugh. With Milo. There's been a ton. The Kevin Costner one that was like Dog's Purpose or something like that. There's been a zillion of them, and they're not going to win the Academy Awards. They're always a bit cheesy. They're always a bit clunky. But this one was like, we're out here to make an entertaining movie. It didn't try to shy away from that. It wasn't like, it leaned head on into that. And it's like, this is what we're doing. And it did it. So I always look for a movie that has a clarity of vision. For better or worse, this one does. It mm-hmm. it said, this is the type of movie we're trying to make. And they made it.
Yep.
So do I like that? Would I prefer that it be a bit more artistically inspired? Sure. But at the end of the day, they were trying to tell a story. They were trying to tell it in an entertaining fashion, and they did. So have to give them credit for that.
Beautiful. I'm going to go with a specific scene. Okay, so remember, they're on an adventure race, right? So they have to climb, they have to crawl, they have to swim, they have to do all these sorts of things. Well, they encounter a zip line, I'll tell you that right now, and it's one of the most exhilarating scenes I've seen in a long time in a movie. I thought when they got to it, it'd be kind of gimmicky, like, oh, it's a zip line. Okay, someone's going to fall and break a leg, you know? And maybe they do, because this is a spoiler-free review. But what they do with this scene, I'm assuming that it comes straight from the book, because this is based on a book on the real events, the person that this happened to, which is Mark Wahlberg's character.
Michael Lindner.
And his team. And I believe that this was so incredibly well executed that, you know, when you're watching a movie and things become almost episodic, like, okay, we've got to get to obstacle one. We've met our team. Here's the first big obstacle. They overcome it. They get to the next one. Here's the next big obstacle. That movie didn't feel like this, and it was a race. It very well should have felt like that. But this first big obstacle just was exhilarating, and you were just rooting for the team to succeed. And I was literally on the edge of my seat. I was very excited about this moment.
Love it.
Moving on. It's time to rip this movie apart. Are you ready, Cam?
I am ready.
Put on your director's shoes and tell us what went wrong.
I think for me, it's the blatant embellishment that's happening in this movie. And I'm saying this from a position of ignorance, having not read the book or familiarized myself with the original story.
Or you've not been on the adventure race.
I've not been on the adventure race mm-hmm. yet. Apparently, we will be soon. But the writers of this film are Michael Brandt, who is a seasoned screenwriter, wrote 310 to Yuma, a few other films. And then Michael Lindner, who was the actual person that this story is about and also the writer of the book that is based on his true life that mm-hmm. this movie is based off of. But there are things that happen in this movie that are just clearly Hollywood, things that did not happen the way that they're happening. It's, you know, it's when you can tell that something is a version of the truth, but in no way happened that way. That can kill it, you know, particularly with a based on a true story movie. I think a lot of times people think, oh, well, people expect it to be a little bit Hollywood-ified if it's a based on a true story movie. And I think that's true to an extent. But if you do it on things that you don't have to, if you go a little bit too far on these like smaller details, mm-hmm. it kills the suspension of disbelief. It kills the whole feeling, like the engagement, because you're like, eh, that didn't really happen that way. Because you can just tell, because you have lived on Earth and you know how real life works. Mm-hmm. Like, this is a remarkable story that by its own merit, you know, based on what I've read in the plot synopses and things like that going into the movie, it's just a really cool story. So whenever they go to the extent of embellishing certain things, the dialogue, particularly the way that certain scenes play out, adding the drama to it, sure, you have to do that to an extent, but this movie at times goes too far. And I think that for me, it makes me go, well, what's the real story? You know, mm-hmm. like what actually happened here? That's what I'm more interested in. And if you hadn't gone so far with the dramatic writing, or if you hadn't gone so far with how you decided to go about the adaptation of this scene for the film, maybe I'd be more engaged. But at times it's just too much for me.
Yeah, it no longer suspends your disbelief.
No.
It just takes you out of it, for sure. For sure. Yeah, I could see those moments in here. For me, my director's shoes, it's tough. A lot of it comes down to some weird character development moments that are very forced. There's a really early on in this film, when the race begins, one of the characters just blurts out a characteristic that's supposed to propel their character forward and motivate the team. It was so malplaced and eye-rolling that yes. I almost said, all right, let's go home, Cam.
Yeah.
Because I really thought, like, are we going to get this dialogue for the rest of the film? Thank goodness we didn't get that level of the rest of it. And I would say that there is a level of distrust to the audience, that there were also, again, moments where they're trying to develop these characters together, where it's almost like a therapy session. All right, one character sits down, the other team member talks to them, they get up, the next one walks in, they chat, they leave, the next one comes in, like a revolving door. And I thought that was a really strange thing to do in such limited time and such a creative space. You have all of the outdoors, so why not get a little bit more fun with the camera? So I thought that those moments were just really boring and not interesting as the viewer in the audience.
Yeah, and just like unnecessary at times, right?
Yeah.
Like to your point on distrust of the audience, it's like we're being handheld through everything and this is not a complex story.
No.
Like there's room for subtext where nobody's going to get lost. Mm-mm. You know? Like yeah. We don't have to have every single thing that's happening, even the stuff that's happening in the background, we don't have to have it explained. We can connect the dots in our brains that we have.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's kind of to what I was alluding to before is like they engineered. I keep using the word engineered for this movie because it feels like it just came off a conveyor belt. Like they were like, I mean, this no joke. This movie is exactly 90 minutes long, which is hilarious. Like exactly that is the runtime. And it, you know, it really feels like somebody at the Lionsgate Studios headquarters had a spreadsheet and they're like, based on our data and our CRM, we feel that if we create a movie around this story starring Mark Wahlberg, Simu Liu, they've got little index scores next to them, we will generate this much revenue. That's really what this movie feels like.
And don't forget that guy from CSI back in the early 2000s.
Yes. But it's like, at times it would be nice if this movie didn't feel that way.
You know,
if it had a little bit more realness and a little bit more heart that was not like 3D printed, but like actual real heart and emotion and realness, because to your point, it just kind of throws the whole thing. It keeps you out of getting to that point where you're like, oh man, this is so touching.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
All right, no more trash talk.
Yep.
It's time for final thoughts and score on Arthur the King.
Yeah, I think this movie is about what I was expecting, and I shouldn't base expectations off trailers and things like that. I really do try to keep a clear mind with these things, but
Cameron wore a dog shirt.
No, I just mean like...
And a Mark Wahlberg puppet. He was so excited for this movie.
How many of these dog movies have we seen? The formula is there. This movie doesn't deviate much from it. It doesn't deviate much from the biopic like formula either. It's just... take it at face value. It is what it is. Mm-hmm. And I think that it does what it set out to do. Like I said earlier, I think a lot of people who are the target audience for this type of film are going to go to the theater. They're going to watch it. They're going to leave pleased with the results because that's what they were wanting. It's kind of like people who tune in every week to NCIS mm-hmm. or
CSI
network TV shows. They go, I want this kind of thing. And they get it. And they're like, great, box checked. That was good enough for me. And that's what this kind of movie represents too. And so I think it's that. So I give it some credit for doing what it set out to do, but as an artistic endeavor, it doesn't bring a ton to the table. It's just a retelling of a story with a little bit too much embellishment at times, but overall, I assume it's pretty faithful to the story based on what I've looked into, which is brief, albeit. So I can't go super high because I think its artistic merit is pretty low and it's purely a commercial product and purely something that they're just trying to like target a specific group and get them to buy tickets. Job well done, but I can't go above a 4.6
4.6 out of 10 kernels. All right, all right. I really hate the phrase, it is what it is, but that's
yeah,
what...
Yeah, I do too, but I say it all the time.
I hate that phrase. I hate leaves much to be desired. Those are like, if you say those on a regular basis, I'll let you like slide it's by and say them.
Kirk hates me. I am that guy. And I hate myself.
So. I bring these things up so that way you don't say them anymore. You listen to the edits and you're like, points oh my gosh. No. There's those kind of phrases. It is what it is. That's I hate doing it, but that is what this movie is. Literally is like, here's the story, here is some Hollywood money, here is a Hollywood star and a couple of up-and-comers and a couple of unknowns, and let's put it together with a really cute and really smart dog. I really thought that I was in dog movies. I never actually get attached to the dog. I will say that first and foremost. I'm usually like, okay, it's a dog. And I know it's going to be safe, even if they quote unquote kill the dog in the movie. The dog is safe. They don't kill the move, kill the actual dog actor. So all that said, this dog had me emotional for the first time in my life. There were scenes that they put this dog in that is very relatable if you own your own dog and the scary things that happen with a dog and its life. And this was the first time I really felt something for a dog movie. So I was happily surprised by that. In fact, it lingered on so long, the couple of scenes, I was like, oh my gosh, can they move on? I don't want to live in my past trauma anymore. So I really appreciated that. I thought those scenes were well done. And ultimately, though, there is it comes down to what we've spoken about earlier, and one of the worst CGI shots I've ever seen in a film.
Oh, dude, there is one. Yes,
that Cameron and I started laughing openly.
I was so thankful I had no food or drink in my mouth, or I would not be sitting here right now. I would be deceased. I barely survived it as is.
It would have been all over the back of the head in front of us.
They almost need a warning on the screen, like countdown 10 seconds to terrible CGI shot that will jar you to your core. Oh my gosh, it was insane.
It was so out of place for the rest of the film. It made no sense. And hopefully they'll, you know how Hollywood likes to go back and edit their movies now. Please do. Like, I'm fully against that.
I just hope somebody gets a high-res clip of it so we can use that meme forever.
Yes, someone please pirate that please. Part of the movie. We'll tell you about when it happens, so when our listeners go and see it. I do believe that because I was, for the very first time ever, attached emotionally to this dog, that my score is higher than you, Cam.
Love it.
And I'm shocked. I'm shaken. And I don't know how I feel because we also missed the first like 5 minutes of this film.
Don't say that.
Because of traffic. I have to say
it's not true. It's not true.
It's totally true. We're being honest here. Okay. But all that said,
nothing happened in that 5 minutes.
My score for Arthur. Well, I think we missed Bear Grylls. My score for Arthur the King is 5.9.
Okay. Okay. I was like, if he goes into the sixes. We might have to have a conversation.
No, I'm just
kidding. You're welcome to do whatever score you want. Good score.
Yeah. What a movie. What a movie.
I know. Here we are.
And
look at us.
I would say you're more of the dog person in our relationship here.
I do love dogs very much. So, yeah, I don't know. It's not that the dog didn't move me. The dog was my favorite part of the movie.
Yeah.
I didn't know we were allowed to choose dogs. I mean, I should have known that. I still would have chosen Mark Wahlberg. Yes. But, yeah, no, the dog was great. He was good dog. Good dog.
Good happening. Boy.
Good boy.
Well, tell us what you think. Arthur the King hits theaters this coming weekend. You'll have a chance to listen to this whole spoiler-free review. We hope you've enjoyed your time. And be on the lookout for our next one, because we roll these out every single week. We appreciate you guys. We appreciate our EP, Ryan Spriggs. We appreciate the band Rhetoric for all of our original music. We will chat with you guys next time.
Peace.